It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. I am here with Jim Donnan and Jake Roos. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm the publisher of UGA Sports. Jim Donnan is the world-famous Georgia football ex-head coach. Jake Roos is the guy that sits in the middle, and that's his wild claim to fame. You know, he's actually our recruiting coordinator, you want to call it that?
Sure.
Recruiting editor.
I do a little bit of it
at
all.
At UGASports.com. This is the UGASports.com crew, and we are here on a Tuesday at noon to talk Georgia football. Before we get started, though, I got to thank all our wonderful sponsors, Founders Brewing Company.
The All Day IPA.
Put it down. We got a show to do.
You going one at lunchtime?
It's noon, dude. Slow down. You notice this is closed. We got to thank Champy's Chicken here on Baxter Street. Apparently, Coach Donna, when that 6-15 game, everybody came here to eat last week. So
Smart move.
Athens Ford. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Athens Ford later in the show, but I'm going to tell you folks, I was out there this morning talking to them. They gave us this cool Raptor with the Athens Ford logo on it. That's pretty bad.
Don't let your boy break it, man.
No. And they didn't want to give it up because everybody in the office was playing with it. And I was out there looking at their Fords, F-150s, and the Edge and all that stuff they have. It's Super Duties. And they have a lifetime powertrain warranty, Coach. And check this out. You can also get it on a pre-owned vehicle that's
really
up to 8 years old or has 80,000 miles on it. So you can go get a vehicle with 79,000 miles on it, get a lifetime powertrain warranty on it, and if you need a new transmission, it's a $100 deductible.
Good Lord.
It's pretty strong.
No, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to. I may need to speak to their business department.
Giving away money over there. And, of course, I got to thank 11 Alive for letting us be on their show, and 365 Game Day for everybody that needs their new logos and, you know, G logos and other gear. Swing by 365 Game Day and get it. And, you know, if you're tired of fried chicken, which is, I can't believe it'd be possible, but in case you're tired of fried chicken, go to Your Pie. There's 41 locations or 44. I mean, they keep adding new locations all the time. Swing out Your Pie. For people that don't know what a Your Pie is or you've seen the signs, you can actually walk in kind of like a Subway and get a pizza however you want it, and it'll be at your table in like 7 minutes. It's unreal, but it's phenomenal. We're going to jump right into the show. This is the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We have Coach Jim Donnan with us, Jake Roos, and myself. And we want your questions. Send your questions in. Coach Donnan will answer them. I'll make up something. Jake will laugh at them.
Maybe we should probably clarify why we are on when we are on today.
Yeah.
Because that's different for the people. We did want to switch it up a little bit. Give you guys a chance to take it in during your lunch break. Yeah, I mean, take a little respite from that work day. But also, you know, we just thought it would, the variance would be nice. Get down here to Champions. Come hang out with us, too. That's part of the reason we wanted you to be able to come in.
We give our priority to the people that are actually here. So, Coach, whenever somebody in here has a question asked, we'll answer those right off the bat. So come down every Tuesday around noon. Come in a little bit early, get your order in so you can actually eat while we're doing it. They feed you really quickly here. They'll knock it out. They have tamales, the chicken fingers. Voted best fried chicken 3 years, 4 years earned? 3 years
every
in a row.
Every year they've been open.
So that's incredible. Just like the folks at Athens Ford have won the President's Service Award, voted on by their customers 3 years in a row. And they've only been open 4 years. They didn't get it the first year, but they've got it.
Not bad.
They'll probably get it this year, too. So it's unreal.
By the way, if you can hear us, make sure that you are giving us a thumbs up. Make sure that you're sending in your questions. Like I said, I know time difference a little different, but thank you guys for tuning in today. Let us make sure that you can hear us. That's one of our main goals always. All right, we got some thumbs coming across there. That's good news.
And we're going to share this with some of our friends and family.
All right.
And hey, if you're watching this on Facebook, go ahead and please give a little thumbs up to or hit the like button on the 11 Alive Sports page. That's where you're watching it. They do amazing prep coverage. They do amazing, you know, high schools. They do amazing football coverage. They're going to have a watching party with Frank Ross, I believe.
So, oh, wow.
So 11 Live covers it better than anybody. They let us crash their page. So if you would, just give them a little like. And that way, every time we do this, you'll get a little reminder on Facebook, which you're not supposed to be on Facebook at work, but we know you are.
Yes.
So,
Well, they can listen to the podcast, too, on their way home.
Absolutely.
If you guys record that, that's always good to give you something on the ride home. But
all right.
All right, let's jump right into it. Coach, give me your thoughts on this past week's game.
Well, first of all, Roddy, I was real impressed with just the way our team reacted to every situation that was presented to it. First of all, they came out focused, looked very organized, did a very good job with the kicking game, got a chance to play a tremendous amount of players. And right off the bat, with Jacob having that unfortunate injury, which I hope isn't too severe, we saw Jake Fromm come in and do a really good job of running the offense and playing within the system, and looked like he'd been around for a long time. And I thought our defense really controlled the line of scrimmage and really made App get out of their base stuff. And we really weren't ever threatened in the game except for the long run that Lamb made early, and then they had a big sack after that. But just from a coaching perspective, the way you look at a team, if I were to go out and maybe scout or watch a team or just watch it on television, the visuals I got were a well-coached team that really looks physical, very good-looking team on the hoof, got a lot of speed. Certainly we got a few positions that are going to be a lot better when we get Parrish back. We'll help our defensive secondary, and we're going to get tested along that line. We'll give you a good scouting report today. But just overall, I would give our team an A on everything as far as the first game. Certainly there's some things we can improve on, but usually, you know, you look at some of these teams early, a lot of penalties, a lot of
They had eight.
Yeah, well,
but it wasn't for that bad. It was only 46 yards,
I think. But some of them were just guys coming in late to have motion penalties and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing really that critical. But what I'm talking about, watching other teams, the sideline organization, mm-hmm. delay a game, you know, needless physical penalties of piling on or running in the kicker and all those.
We saw a lot of that this past week in college football everywhere.
That's what I'm saying from that standpoint. We just look head and shoulders over a lot of the teams, particularly in the SEC. But I just feel like that, like I told you last time I was on the show, that everything's ahead of us. We're going to play against a team this week that people don't realize how talented they are. They had seven games of their eight that was a one-possession game last year. They got tremendous offensive line.
But all we hear, Coach, is that they were 4-8 last year. They were 4-8.
We were 7-5.
To your point, when people kind of overlook them, they're like, terrible. They're 4-8.
People just read my lips here. Of the 12 teams on our schedule, I said this when the season started, I felt like Florida was going to maybe be a little bit better than they showed. But the two teams that had comparable to us physical talent are Notre Dame and Auburn. And I think Notre Dame's quarterback now presents a real challenge to us. I can't remember too many teams in the past that had two number one draft choices on their offensive line, three highly recruited receivers that you know about, Jake, that can make a lot of things happen. And then two backs that kind of like ours, one's more of a power back and the other one's a faster guy. But it's going to be a situation with two relatively inexperienced quarterbacks, Jake on our side and Wimbush, who got beaten out by a guy that's going to start for the Cleveland Browns this week.
Didn't he rush for 100 yards this past game?
He did.
Rushed for 100 and passed for 185. He threw a pick, but they got a new offense. And I tell you, when a head coach that has an offensive background like Coach Kelly has, you know, starting way back to Central Michigan, going through Cincinnati and all that, and he's always called the plays, he's always been the offensive guy, and to give that up, there has to be some real trust in what he's done by giving this up to Chip Long, the guy that came in from Memphis. And they looked a little bit different in their style. They looked a little bit more dedicated to the run. I watched the tape so the fans here could ask me some questions. I watched their game against Temple, who was a really good team last year. Lost some guys on defense, but they run a similar offense to Clemson from the standpoint of multiple quarterback runs, multiple option type stuff, but enough power game. And they throw the ball off play action a lot more than they do drop back. But I think defensively, they still got some holes. I feel like we can really move the ball on them. it's going to be a game where whichever quarterback takes care of the ball the best, to me, is going to be a big critical part of it. I see a lot of offense in this game. Even though our defense is strong up front, we have some areas in the secondary that are going to get challenged. So this is going to be a real challenge for us on the road. But all of a sudden, our kicking game is a plus for us.
Yeah, that looked phenomenal.
Our depth is better.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot better about this game than I did 2 weeks ago, just because of what I've seen with the productivity in the kicking game and the way our defense rallied around the lack of cohesiveness in the secondary. There weren't many guys AWOL in the secondary. Most guys were covered. They were on them all the time. But it's going to be a lot of fun for the people to make the trip. But it's going to be a difficult game to win because you're on the road and you're playing against a very talented team.
I want to go back to the what you mentioned about the their offensive line. Notre Dame's, you know, to the left side of that line, two guys that are going to play in the NFL right off the bat. Three different guys running off for 100 yards in that game last week against Tulane. Going up against
Temple. Temple.
Yeah. But still, they're going up against Georgia's strength, which I think is their defensive front.
Right.
You know, front seven. So you have strength on strength. And then when you flip it over, you've got Georgia's rebuilding its offensive line, new quarterback, going up against their defense, which is not really terror-inspiring. You know, I was kind of looking over one of Georgia's scouting reports on their defense, and I don't think Georgia's really intimidated by their defense. And
we
so
shouldn't
kinda,
be.
I don't say week on week, but when you're trying to gauge how one of these games is going to go, when it's not their strength versus your weakness and vice versa, you got strength on strength and weakness on weakness, how do those games play out? I mean, or how do you coach that? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it's a total game, and every game has its ebb and flow.
Absolutely.
But I think the main thing is making sure, first of all, that you don't beat yourself in a game like this by giving them easy field position or getting them out to an early start. And, you know, for instance, like against Mississippi last year, we got off to such a terrible start that we never were in the game. We didn't make many first downs, and they hit some plays, some miraculous plays. But very similar attack to what Ole Miss runs from the standpoint of, you know, moving the ball around.
That doesn't bode well.
No, I'm talking about different. I'm just saying the way they play.
I know.
They put a lot of pressure, like I would say Ole Miss, Auburn type, you know, and we stopped Auburn cold last year. So Kirby and Coach Tucker have a good plan for playing against these spread hurry-up teams. But I think the biggest thing is tackling in open space. Can they tackle Chubb and Michelle? And can we tackle their guys? Because you're not going to just get stalemates at the line of scrimmage and knock their offensive line back with those guys that they've got. I mean, if you just look at the size comparison last week to us to Appy,
there's
a big difference this week, 30, 40 pounds a man. And Appy hurt us a little bit with their movement on defense. But I just feel overall that we've got to take advantage of our running game against them, and we've got to make sure that their passing game doesn't hurt us with any easy scores.
Well, it kind of felt like when we're in here at Champions and you get one of those big 40-ounce beers, that was the Georgia team.
Yeah.
And then when you go to some highfalutin restaurant and you ask for a glass of wine and they give you, you know, a couple ounces there, that felt like Appalachian State. And I'm not trying to bang on Appalachian State, but when they walked off the field, Coach, I was looking a lot of their guys in the eyes. I'm 5'10", you know, 5'11 in shoes, and I'm like, this was not a big team by any means.
Yeah, I was surprised at their size. I mean, I've had them a couple times over the last 5 years on television and get to watch them practice, but I think part of it was the way we dominate them, but the other part was they didn't look like, to me, they felt like they could win in this game like they did against Tennessee last year, and they played and coached like it. They didn't run the option. They had two really successful option plays against us and didn't run
it
anymore.
Stopped,
they didn't threaten us down the field. It looked like they were trying to keep the score down, really. I mean, I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah.
But that's not my job to figure that out. But I do feel like a little bit of us being better than I hoped we'd be and them not being as good. So you add the two. And overall, but they do know how to win, and they got a defense that gives you trouble. We saw the first play of the game. They penetrated on us. They're going to take chances. And we got off to a little shaky start, but then we got the running game going and hit a couple passes. And You know, that's the tough thing about social media and shows like this. Every little thing is critiqued down to the max.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this for an hour.
Can you imagine back in the old days of somebody calling up Bear Bryant right after the game and asking what they did? You know?
Can you imagine, you know, maybe one of the Board of Regents going to his Facebook page and talking about
how much? Oh, man.
That's just weak. As bad as that was for them, I just think that there's no reason to go on social media and Facebook and talk about
you're the Board of Regents. Know your role. Right. Jim Donnan, former Georgia coach, is with us. I'm Roddy DeBolsey. This is Jake Roos. We're live here at Champions on Baxter. We're answering all your football questions. We're sponsored by Athens Ford, Founders Brewing Company, EuroPie, and a bunch of others. Cable East. Don't forget our guys at Cable East. They're wonderful people out there. Robert Wall out in Statham. But we got a lot of questions we need to get to. And so let's jump on that.
Let's go to it.
Coach, the big thing that people want to know is what you saw out of Jake Fromm. You know, your feelings on him, the leadership. Did you see that there was a spark that popped up when he came in? I mean, what was your take on the whole game?
I just think overall, taking up for Jacob, first of all, that it wasn't so much what Jacob didn't do. It's just the fact that when Fromm came in, there wasn't anybody looking around the huddle saying, oh, my, what are we going to do now? You know, they'd seen him in practice and the other players on the team. And I've talked to you two guys about it before. Part of being a quarterback is having the confidence of the team that they expect you to do the right things, call the plays, do everything. And sometimes when you go from one to two, there's a little bit of doubt there. But based on the way he'd earned that trust over the spring and the fall, there was obviously some consternation on our part because Jake was down, but you know, Jake came in there and ran the show, and he does give you a little advantage under center. He's just quicker taking a snap and handing the ball off, and I think that helps the running game. And
well, explain that to us, Coach, because like you said, social media shows like this, we're all armchair quarterbacks. We've never coached, but we know everything.
Right.
You know?
I'll just say this. If you look at our team.
Explain the difference in those two. And not to say anything against Eason, but
if you're a defensive team and a team's lining up with the quarterback under center, well, you just have such better running lanes to hand the ball to your backs, whether it's a counter, whether it's taking the ball back, where it's turning, spinning, hand it to them, or it's turning this toss sweep. But your backs are always running downhill. Now, I know if you get in a pistol when you're in the shotgun that you can hand the ball to the guy, but there's not near as much deception when you're that far back, you know, and there's not a lot of people in front of you. And the offensive line that's in front of you up there, you know, it's hard to see where the ball is. So I think that and the fact that Jacob struggled, and he's gotten better at it because he never done it before, he just doesn't back up as good as you need to sometimes. Right. And so I just think.
Well, that was the thing all last year. People were saying, Eason's not comfortable under center, moving back. Why won't Jim Chaney move him back? You know? And so now we're seeing a little bit of a situation where.
Well, I think the people that say that, if you move him back, then that limits your running game because we're not.
And that's what I was asking.
We're not a spread team from the standpoint of the quarterback threat to keep the ball. If you're keeping the ball, then that keeps the backside from taking the quarterback, and you got quarterback runs. But it's a give and take, a him and haul, or whatever it might be. When you get in the gun, then you've got a better chance to throw the ball, but it limits you running the game because you only got certain ways to run the ball without running the option, which most teams run it from the spread. So I think the thing about that's really good about our situation is, and I think Ramsey certainly had a couple bad plays there, but he hadn't really worked. But it really means a lot that Ramsey's back to have a guy like that can jump in there and play too, because he's shown me in practice over the 4 years I've seen him, he has ability to do it. He just got to do it in the game. And Jake's had some problems in practice. It's like anybody has. I mean, you play against our defense, they're going to make you look bad. And I think that's helped him, though, because all of fall camp, he's gone against the first-team defense, you know, as a second-team quarterback. And that's got to help him.
Davin Bellamy was talking about it. We asked him, look, when this guy got here, and he's kind of talking smack to the defense, you know, from day one. And Davin Bellamy said, in the summer we were doing 7-on-7s. And this kid's, you know, pulling their huddle together, and we're like, this freshman is really giving us a challenge. And, you know, and of course, every time he makes a completion, you're going to hear about it. And he's such a gung-ho, you know, team-first guy.
Right.
I mean, such a leader. But Davin Bellamy was, I mean, he was grinning ear to ear. Like, we knew this kid was good from the day
he
got
here. Well, that's a relief to your defense.
Yeah.
Just from a standpoint, hey, we're not going to just have to shut everybody out just because we lost a first-team quarterback. But conversely, Jacob Eason beat this guy out this fall. You know, you got to give him credit.
Well, he had a year of experience.
Right. I'm just saying, though, everybody's saying, hey, what's going to happen? Who knows that? But that's Kirby and Chaney's thing. But,
wait. Grayson Lambert beat out Eason last year to start the season. So
well, he did.
But for what, two quarters?
Well,
a quarter and a half.
But they had a plan to put him in quick. I don't know that was it for Fromm, but I just don't like to make comparisons. But I do feel like that there's a little bit of optimism, maybe that
too much.
That should be there, but at the same time, the realism. This kid is a freshman. We saw the guy from Virginia Tech, a true freshman. You saw what he did the other night. I mean, there's capable quarterbacks that can do it. He can do it. He's going to need to get some help from the line, though. I mean, he's got to get good protection, and he's going to have to keep, just like Jacob suffered some drops last year. We can't afford drops. But I feel like with Godwin and Hardman really didn't touch the ball. I mean, you had those big play people in there, and it looks like Swift's going to be another guy in the slot that could come in there, too. I mean, we got some players that should be able to. You're just not going to knock everybody off the ball all the game. You need some big plays. You look at that 44-yard run by Sony. And you look at that play that Nick made. Those are the kind that keep drives alive and make your team get fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I don't know that people know this about you very much, but it's true. We know this. You watch the recruits. I mean, you watch guys in high school. Did you see some of what, Jake Fromm showed on tape in high school translate into the game on Saturday?
Right. And I had the benefit last year. Kirby asked me to come over there when Jake was at camp. Mm-hmm. And just look him over, and not that it made any difference what I thought, but he did ask.
But, you know, Kirby dots all the I's across all teams.
But, you know, just another set of I's, and particularly when you got Jacob here, you know, you're bringing in another guy on top of him. And I felt like it was obvious that watching him 7-on-7 with his team against other teams in this tournament, he had that it factor. He could, you know, really read the defense and throw on time and everything. And I think in the spring he probably tried to throw the ball too hard, trying to keep up with Jacob's arm, and maybe hurt his arm a little bit. But in the fall he's a lot better as far as his velocity. It's still something that, you know, he's going to have to work on, but his accuracy's there, and his knowledge of assignment is really there. I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting to hear Tubbleville during the game saying, well, they're going to have to limit their offense. You know, you got a freshman in there, and he probably hadn't read the releases. That's one of the strengths that this guy had. And, I'm going to bust old Tubbs when I see that. I said, what kind of prep did you do? And I said, hey, it's not Appalachian State. It's Appalachian State.
So he just kind of rolled in, did he?
He did a good job for a lot, you know, philosophy-wise, but you can't call it. Number 10 made a good tackle on number 22.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of questions.
All right, let's get them. But I do feel like finishing up on Jake.
Sure.
That the big thing for any quarterback, and I've coached him for 40 years, is a huddle presence, command of your situation. Going to the line of scrimmage just gives you a good feel when your guy is not hesitant, when he knows what to do. That's going to transcend to your play, other players, and he's ahead of the curve for a guy his age, just from his background and everything else. And from that standpoint, we can work around the things that he might be limited in. But I just feel like to have a guy like him come in to replace a guy like Eason is just kind of golden.
That's five-star on five-star. I mean, you know, that's the ideal thing for
and
sure.
And I think both of them have got to prove, though, that they're five-star SEC players.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jacob, for sure, last year played solid, but we were hoping for the jump. And now, same thing last week, you know, we saw 10 out of 15 from him, but, you know, only one throw down the field that was – which really was – not well advised, but it worked out.
Thank you, Javon Wims.
Yeah. That's the thing about him, though. He does, he's fearless, and he's gonna. He's kind of like, to me, I wouldn't compare him to Brett Favre, but he's kind of that
attitude
guy out there. That, hey, we're gonna make it happen. I'm not gonna go by this any kind of percentage here. Hey, I can make it happen, and I like that.
I do too. I've been making that Brett Favre comparison for a while. I think that that's a really good.
You only know two quarterbacks, though.
The arm talent. I just don't get the interceptions that
Brett has.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting a couple of questions here. Willie Gray says, "What do y'all think of the O-line so far? Seemed like we may need to lean heavy on the run this Saturday." Steve Aronica says, O-line looks like more of the same. Need to spread the wide receivers out. Just your take on the offensive line this week.
Well, I think from the standpoint of Kirby, I thought he really made a good strategic move there. When we got ahead 21-0, he started substituting more. Yeah. He's protecting some of these injured players. He's evaluating some other guys because the game was in hand. Instead of keeping everybody in there and trying to run the score up, I thought it was smart. I mean, who cares if he went 31-0 or 31-10 or 45-3? The idea is to get your team ready for the season, and they did that. So you need some depth on your offensive line and in your secondary. That's the two places we got to have it. So we played a lot of guys there, but we didn't get a lot of movement, and part of that's because you're playing against the team. If you're playing against me and you're not as big as me, you're going to take chances, and sure, they're going to make you look bad. That's their defensive scheme. They take chances. We used to call it butcher knife bandit. When the reason we said, hey, they take a butcher knife and try to steal your offense, you know, I mean – so they do a lot of that. So we got to be fan-wise, and people like us that are analyzing got to understand it's hard to look like $1 million against a team that takes that many chances. And we're playing it close to the vest,
yeah,
trying to not show a lot to ND and protect this young quarterback to, you know, make sure. He only caught 3 passes in the third quarter. So I think we got to be a little bit – on the side of the coach there. He did a smart thing there, just letting everybody play.
I did want to ask you about you brought it up, and it's something that people were asking us post-game the other night when we were having a chat. Do you think that they held back a pretty good bit?
Hey, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? I mean, seriously, you got Godwin, you got Hardman, you got Crumpton, you got Terry Godwin had a really good fall camp. We've got some weapons, and plus we didn't show a lot of stuff with Chubb and Michelle in there together.
Yeah, sure.
Michelle out of the backfield, didn't really throw the ball down the field a lot. I thought we were, you know, very
conservative.
Showed a lot of constraint there, but it was smart, though. I mean, to me, why show
– yeah, and you're still up 31-0 in the third.
You got the element of everything we can do to Notre Dame – that they haven't seen, we hadn't shown yet that we can do. So we got a multitude of formation groupings. By that I mean 2 tight ends, sometimes 3 wides, sometimes 5 wides. Power stuff. Based on what I've seen in the spring and the fall, I think our offense has made a marked improvement. Particularly the fact that they can compete against our defensive front, which is going to be as good as we play against, and that includes Auburn and Notre Dame. So that practice against each other helps you.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is they showed about 60-70% of what they could do.
I don't know about as far as their plays. I don't think they showed 20%. Okay. I mean, just because –
but formation-wise.
Right, we were very vanilla. There's a lot of difference between going to Howard Johnson's and going to a place that just shows one type of ice cream. How many flavors they got?
This wasn't Baskin Robbins. Right. This wasn't 30.
We got a lot of flavors.
No doubt.
It's funny you say that, and I want to give a shout-out to Kendall Baker for coming in and playing really well at that left guard spot, and then Dyshon Sims taking over right guard. And Andrew Thomas, true freshman.
Andrew Thomas is the real deal, and you can have some plays when the other team jumps around on you. But overall, there's another situation with Kenley being a little bit bummed up that we were able to hold him out and get another week to get ready.
Yeah.
And I think if Parrish can't play this week, we're going to probably see the same thing against Samford. He might not play till Mississippi State. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But the idea is you got a coach – 2 things that I always like in a coach, one, how do you handle pressure, the game situation, the everything that's going on? The other thing is looking to the future. Well, Kirby is planning ahead all the time. He does a good job, you know, in projecting his team. He brings in a guy that supplements his team that can do a really good job on special teams in Crumpton. He brings in a guy, you know, last year like Mo Smith that helped our defense.
And well, Tyler J.R. Reed.
How about Reed? And then how about Tyler Catalina made the Redskins.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that situation, but still, you got to feel good about, to me, a lot of the intangibles that you see, and I try to make sure I don't make these comparisons to Alabama, but just the fact you were around that guy for so long, you got the planning capabilities and see the things that they did as a staff, which a lot of people help with, but we see that kind of movement here with Kirby. He knows how to get a team ready, knows, and the addition of our extra facility there now, having that place to work out, has really made a big difference in our preparation.
Yeah, I wonder if that didn't come down, like you started off the show talking about how this team looked a little more polished. They didn't make the same number of mistakes. I mean, there was once or twice they're looking at the sideline waiting for a call to come in, you know, and that happens on every team.
But that was mostly with the second group.
Yeah. I mean, like Roquan did it once, and then they wound up, it turned into a sack. So, I mean, they obviously got the right call in. But the idea being that you weren't spending all the previous spring and every fall practice, you know, 30-minute bus ride over to your practice facility, 30 minutes back. Every time there was even a hint of rain, they could pop indoors. And actually, sometimes they were indoors even when they didn't need to be.
Yeah, I think the thing about that, and we've mentioned it before, Jake and Roddy, is the fact that the conditioning of your team is important, but also the physical part's one thing, but the mental too. If you can get a mental rep inside in a walkthrough, let's just say it's 90 degrees and 100% humidity, and you're doing a walkthrough outside where you're just trying to get a mental rep, as compared to being inside and doing the same thing, which one would you prefer?
Absolutely.
And we were able to do that consistently, and you see these, you can really do a lot better with your walkthroughs because they can go a little bit, they're not running, but you can move around quicker and do things and get more done. And what happens is the mental rep carries over, because I've said this and I'll say it again, dumb loses more than smart wins. So you got to make sure that you eliminate mental errors, whether it's in the kicking game. Look at the games last year in the kicking game. So I think the addition of Scott Fountain has helped us on our special teams. Coach Beamer did a good job last year, but he's got some help there with a guy who's helped run the scout teams for Auburn. I mean, the special teams for Auburn, and now he's an analyst over here. Our special teams just look a lot.
They look night and day different, Coach.
Yeah. I mean, kicking was good, too, both those kickers. And there's another thing. You bring in a transfer punter. So it's not just all kudos for Kirby here, but what I'm saying is the planning and the preparation and the ability to get your team in a position where they – are competitive with your with everybody else, and that means acquisition of talent, development of talent through your skill work in the 7-on-7, through your strength training, through your mental capacity. They do a good job with these mentors. They bring a lot of kids.
I love the mentor program. That's phenomenal.
And they bring a lot of kids in here that played pro ball to talk to these players. I saw David Pollock coming in here. Seymour came last year. You know, what it means to play for the G and all that. Hey, all that – a lot of these kids, you know, they need to hear that.
Sure, sure.
They need that buy-in.
Speaking of kudos, we need to probably give some out to the people who keep our lights on and let us do this every week.
Well, you're talking about a good, well-polished team, and I mentioned I was out at Athens Ford earlier this morning talking to Brian out there and Marianne, and if for people that don't know, Athens Ford is the only Athens dealer in Athens. You know, everyone's like, oh, well, no, it's the only one. They're out there across from Sonic. If you're out on the end of that end of Atlanta Highway.
Yeah, by Sam's Club.
Yeah, and they have a competition going out. Okay, if you come in, not this week, but next week before the
Sanford game,
if you come in at 2:30, they have a cornhole competition.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
So there's going to be they're looking for about 16 teams. They had a bunch of teams out this past weekend. And you can compete in a game of cornhole. Now, they take two winners from that group, and then they have a grand championship. On the line is a $500 tailgating prize pack.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeti coolers, tents, grills, all this stuff. So next, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after, of the Samford game, when you come in to watch Georgia beat up on Samford, because let's call it what it's going to be.
Well, let me tell you this, though.
Don't start with me, Coach.
All I want to tell you is Samford's going to have one of the best offenses to play in Samford Stadium all year.
That quarterback's so very good.
Well, that's just telling you that it's not a very good home schedule.
But the guy, the Samford will be better on offense than Appalachian State.
Oh, that's well, true. That's very interesting. So when Georgia's getting ready for Samford, go to Athens Ford at 2:30. If all you cornhole champions out there, and go ahead and the top two people get a prize, and maybe you get invited back for the grand championship.
Maybe you're feeling the juice at the at the tailgate. You're winning out there. Hey, hop an Uber. Right out to Athens for
it. Yeah, absolutely. And then come by Champions here. We're at Champions on Baxter Street, so it's a straight line shot between
Speaking
Athens
of keeping
Ford.
The juice going, yeah.
Yeah, get all these 40s behind us. Come in here, grab a 40-ounce, and grab that big box of chicken they have. And if you really want a good beer,
Founders. Get you an all-day IPA. Put those down.
I'm impressed you've made it 22 minutes into the show, and the top is still on there. So,
No doubt.
If chicken is not your thing, swing by Your Pie. The folks out at Your Pie do a wonderful job. I mean, especially on a game day, if you got a crowd of different tastes. You have people that, I want this, I want that. And you can never make a huge crowd of people happy. Take them by Your Pie. Everybody walks in, gets the exact type of pizza they want, or a sandwich, or a salad. And
would you say
done.
7 minutes?
Bang, bang, bang.
I mean, and they take it, they make it in front of you. They turn around, they pop it in this super hot oven. It comes out incredible. And I mean, I don't think I've ever waited more than 7 minutes to get a huge pizza. And I'm a fat guy.
What do you order on yours?
I get the Southern Heat. It's chicken with a kind of a hot marinara sauce and some hot sauce on it, and red onions and cilantro. It is phenomenal. The Southern Heat. My son's hooked on it, and I don't even get, hey, Dad, can we get a Your Pie? I get, Dad, can we get one of those heats?
What
He's
about
13 years
what
old.
What do you call everything on it?
Just load it up. Yeah.
I love their Calabrese out there, and their sandwiches are phenomenal. So swing by Your Pie. But anyway, we have a lot of questions we need to get to, Coach.
Let's get them here. Let's do rapid fire
now.
Let's see. Hardman or Godwin getting any reps at quarterback, asked Matthew Potts. I guess he's talking about in terms of, that third spot now. They want to have somebody
in there. Yeah, what happens
if
Fromm goes down? What do you do?
Well, you got Ramsey, and then you got Vaughn's played some, practice, and then you got that Bennett, who I heard.
Stetson Bennett, yeah.
Pretty good guy. But, getting Ramsey back was huge because he's got experience and he knows the system.
But a lot of people right now are terrified of putting Ramsey back in there.
Well, I mean, maybe on those two plays, but, I mean, it's the end of the game.
But please address that because, that happens. The minute he goes in, people are going to lose their mind.
Well, that's probably true, but, look at some of the times he's looked pretty good, too. Yeah. So I think there's a real paradox there. Don't get quite as down on Ramsey, maybe not quite as high on Fromm. Although I'm high on Fromm, but what I mean?
Things are never as good as they seem,
right,
and never
I'm
as bad
just
as they seem.
I'm Ramsey, I've watched him practice, and he's just never gotten to the point that you would think he is the way he's played in practice. He's got a lot of potential. I mean, he really is a good quarterback, but he hadn't done it when the band's playing. And to a certain extent, that's the way it is for all quarterbacks. You got to do it in front of all the people.
So to the question here, though, if you have a situation where you had Mecole Hardman, Terry Godwin, guys who've played some quarterback, do you give them extra reps?
I'm sure they got a backup system. Like we saw Sony on the goal line. I like that, body right. Yeah. And we've got some stuff in there that they can handle, I think. Godwin particular. Of course, Hardman over there at Elberton was all world doing all that stuff.
I like the idea of putting Mecole back there.
Trey Bishop.
Yeah. Yes.
Who really was a
I completely agree. That's the guy when I'm looking at, if you're wanting to find an athlete, a guy who, Hardman and Godwin kind of I mean, their roles are pretty established at this point. Bishop still fighting for time in that secondary. That's a guy I think I would look at.
Well, for the fans, just explain to him, he was a high school multi-purpose quarterback. Didn't throw much, but he played the whole time at quarterback. Didn't he?
No doubt.
But that's to my point, though. When you have Sony Michel lined up in that wild dog formation, you have Terry Godwin, you know it's a handoff one way or the other.
More than likely, you might have one. Like Terry threw a pass against down in the Gator Bowl, didn't he? But it's intercepted. But here's the thing: you're right. You limit what you can do when you go to that.
But what if you had?
It's a good insurance system.
Sure. But Mikel threw it. So if I'm not trying to say pick Mikel or everybody else, but if he's back there, everyone's expecting he's either going to run it himself or hand it off. But when you put in that third possibility, hell, he just might throw it.
Yeah,
keep that secondary a little honest.
I would say I would give our coaches credit for knowing their background.
No, we have to second guess them. That's the whole point of our industry, Coach.
We used to have a situation. That's where I got guys playing both ways, where we call it the New York Life team. We practice 10 minutes a day where you have some guys playing a different position in case you had this catastrophic injury in certain situations. So, you want to put a DB in as a wide receiver in a special situation, or vice versa, or a big defensive lineman in on the goal line to be one of your power blockers. So that New York Life team is always important.
Aubrey Justice says, do you think having Riley Ridley back this weekend will be
absolutely
a helper for him?
Absolutely. I mean, he's just a gamer. This guy he's shown a propensity for making a big catch. Our kids like throwing the ball to him, and he will be a big, big addition to have him back there, knowing we got him in, and having Holyfield help our special teams. He's a demon on special teams, so both of those guys will help us.
What do you think of Sony Michel being the gunner on the punt team?
I like it. I like it just because he's one of your best athletes out there, and chances of him getting hurt in the open field aren't very big in that kind of situation. He can make the plays, and the way our guy's punting, he's going to be down there, and he kicks it high. So I like it. I mean, here's an example. And I was watching the Alabama game on playback after our game was over. First play of the game, that number 34 runs for about 32 yards. And then in the third quarter, he blocks a punt.
Yeah.
The second team running back. What's his name? You got Scarborough and then number 34.
I can't think of it right now.
But anyhow, he's the first team or second, comes in there and blocks the punt. So
Sony had a grin ear to ear running down on that punt. He obviously loves it.
There's pros and cons for it. We lost Boz Bailey on the first play against Georgia Southern my last year on the kickoff. He got hit below the waist and hurt his knee. But, you want to play your best players in special teams until – you can't go in there scared. You got to go in and let them play.
Sure.
Comparing year to year, like you said when you first started the show, this is something I thought of. When you went into Tennessee last year and you lose Nick Chubb on the first – oh, not last year, but in 2015, you lose him on the first play of the game, and you're like, that kind of shocked. And then Georgia did score a bunch, and then the whole thing kind of came off the wheels, but the wheels, it fell apart. But look at this team on the – eighth play of the game, you lose your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
They come in, rattle off three straight touchdowns. This was not – the composure was there. And I'm not saying that I'm not taking anything away from the 2015 team, but like I said, that kind of
– But we had a good start against Tennessee that game, didn't we?
That's what I say. You did. They did. They came in, they started well, but then they kind of let it get away from them. Defense, we talked to Jake Gaines, and he'll tell you we couldn't tackle worth a damn that particular game. Hey,
with all your contacts here with rivals, has Tennessee done anything to their field?
Yes, I've heard. I heard that they have completely redone the field.
They put grass on it?
I have heard. Yes. I actually heard that while shooting on the sideline the other day. We noticed actually that Georgia raised the field a little bit. It felt like compared to last year. And so,
The one thing about the turf, and there's a behind the scenes type of deal, but we've done a really good job with our practice fields in Sanford Stadium. Brent McEwen, his dad was a field manager when I was here, but he works with the group along with Joe Peters that they bring in the turf and they put it in. And they just put in a new turf in Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee, Florida. State had to get their whole turf removed.
Yeah, that's,
right,
but that's pretty common now. That whole lay and play stuff, you know, it's about
eight, but not thick,
and they roll it out and put it down.
But you wouldn't expect them to have to do it right before right.
Apparently,
during,
no. Apparently, that's when you do it, because when Georgia did it at the same time, they did it like right before spring or maybe it was right before camp. But I was asking one of the field turf guys about that. I'm like, why did you wait until 4 weeks before or 2 weeks before practice? That's how you do it, you know.
Well,
and I mean, that's
for all
the
people on Facebook. Any kind of agronomy questions, you got it right here.
Yeah. We cover it all.
Ronnie's
man.
Got it. I mean, you can go because you can go from a restaurant with the southern heat to the agronomy in a New York minute.
Well, I just said these trucks pulled into the Tate Center and they had these giant bales of rolled up.
It's kind of unbelievable they do. And for Tallahassee,
they laid it down. It was
for Tallahassee did it this week while they were gone.
Yeah.
Playing up in the Mercedes-Benz. So they did it a week before their first home game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just remember what Georgia did. I'm like, there's not enough time. And they said, look, you know, this is our industry. We know what the hell we're doing.
All right.
There's some questions.
Yeah, as great as grass is, let's talk about some football, too.
Hey, careful now. Careful.
Talking about the kind they sell in store.
We got a couple of questions here about the offensive line, pertaining particularly to Isaiah Wilson. And a lot of people noticed that the big five-star offensive lineman didn't get in. You know, you did see, however...
Neither did Natori Johnson.
Neither did Natori Johnson. You did see Justin Schaefer get in there, which, hey, I love Justin. Congratulations, Justin, for seeing some action out there. Ben Cleveland was playing. Kendall Baker. What do you make of those two highly touted guys?
In the case of Wilson, he only got here this summer. He didn't have the benefit of spring practice. He played in a league where... He's so much bigger than everybody. He didn't have to use a lot of technique. He's very powerful. He's big and all. But it's different when you have to block guys comparable size to you. And he's going to be a heck of a player. He's just not as far along as maybe as what we've seen with Andrew playing the other side. So, and then in the case of Natori, he was a little bit late getting in, too. He didn't get here until July. So they're both a little bit behind there. But I'm glad we got him. And they're going to help. Down the road, I mean, this guy is massive. He'll be – and you see all around the country sometimes some guys don't play early, and particularly big guys getting their body. You know, he's a very young kid, 18 years old. He's got to just – they're reconstituting his body as far as the weight distribution and doing everything, and he's reacting to that, and he's learning the system. But
well, I think part of it came down to the fact they played 17 freshmen
out
of the 23 that were here. So – you know, it's like, well, if you're going to play, and some of those guys in secondary get in, Robert Beal didn't get in, you know. But when you see they're trying, it almost looks not as if they're trying to get everybody blooded, you know, on their first outing, but they're obviously trying to get rotation, get guys used to the speed
of the
game.
Well, you build in depth, but
absolutely.
What the other thing is.
But so that was why the question popped up. It's like, well, where's Isaiah?
Well,
you know,
the one question for every coach. Is like the situation last year where the kid got in for one play and then we
– Yeah, Kinley.
Solomon Kinley.
Kinley.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to play the other day because he's hurt. But you just got to be careful about if a guy is on the bubble of really helping you and playing a lot as a backup or maybe not playing much, hey, is he better off just keeping him out and getting another year out of him? And that's the real situation we might get with a couple of those. Nothing wrong with redshirting them, but – yeah. The thing we're doing with these other 17, they're helping on special team. Guys like Webb and McBride and Grant, those guys get in there, and they're playmakers on the special teams, and you got to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually had a question I wanted to just ask you quick, your thoughts. Isaiah Wilson, red shirt.
You know, I don't really know enough about where he stands in the grand scheme of things, but I do know this, that you got the situation last year where Ben Cleveland was able to redshirt, and he's a lot better off this year. So I don't know what's going to happen with Wilson, but I'm sure they'll make that decision maybe four games into the year. But if he continues to progress and mature and learn what to do, there's a place for him very quickly because guys like him, a road grader, I mean, he can line up and just mash you. That's what you need.
We got another question here about Lorenzo Carter, and this is something somebody asked us the other night after the game as well. People said, you know, oh, Lorenzo Carter, quiet again. People are and I.
Did you see him run from the backside that one time
yeah,
and chase that guy
yes,
down?
I said, you know, part of what it was trying to them trying to key in on him and you know he takes pressure off other guys.
He's gonna command attention from the other team's game plan. And, you know, you're getting a little picky there on him. I mean, he looks so good, you expect him to dominate a little more than he does. But I was glad to see Trent Thompson come out and play like he needed to. And then Roquan, those guys. But I like the way Carter's motor's running. I think he's going to continue to.
He dropped into coverage multiple times.
Be a guy that. We just never got into a situation where we had to rush the passer that much. That's going to be important. But we were able to get some lost yardage plays, which helps you.
Well, I remember watching, you know, because when I'm down on the sidelines, I'm looking through this giant lens, and I'm kept basically catching a guy from the waist up. And I've focused in one time on Davin Bellamy and the other time on DeAndre Walker. And both times Roquan was behind him, you know, kind of moved out. And the pressure, they came flying in, and Lamb just went around him. So your outside linebackers, defensive ends on that side, they crashed in. There was no containment, and Lamb torched him. And I was talking to Bellamy about it. I was teasing him, you know, after the game, and he said, yeah, he goes, that cat can run. He's like getting a hand on him.
What happened
tough.
On the one
and
time?
And he said that when Lorenzo reached out for him, you know, he said full extension. I've never seen anybody miss. I've never seen Lorenzo miss on a full extension. And he said Lamb got away from him and goes, that kid can run. You know?
Yeah, he's a solid runner. And I think the one time it was just a zone read and they collapsed inside and he just ran around the outside. But you got to work on that, and that'll help our team getting ready for Notre Dame because we're going to see a lot from Wimbush. But I think we get a little bit more of an idea about our defense this week because they're going to get challenged and they're going to get a lot more reps and see what happens.
Al Swearingen with a good question here wants to know who do you think is the most talented of the sophomore defensive line group? That would be the Michael Carters, Julian Rochesters, Tyler Clark.
Tyler Clark had a big game.
Tyler Clark did.
He's really coming on. You know, Rochester got that. He's got this looks good, and you know he's really gotten a lot better as far as technique. And but that's a good recruiting class. I mean, again, gets back to needs. We needed those guys to come in, and they played early because we didn't have a lot of depth there. And that's the same thing with these secondary guys that we've recruited seven or eight of them for a guy like LeCount to come in. I think he deserves about the same amount of credit that Fromm does just because he does the same thing in the secondary that the kids believe in him. He knows what to do. He's a take-charge guy back there, even though he's a freshman. So I like the way he – you know, he's a little small, but he doesn't care about that. He throws it around. But the point is, all of those D linemen in the sophomore class got – you know, they got the size and the ability to take up space, and that's part of the deal. If you see Alabama's defense, they got big road grader defensive linemen that let those linebackers run free and make plays in the open field.
Travis Sirasulo says David Marshall. We definitely shouldn't have missed him. He absolutely is.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. I got to get
I know. That's, I feel the same way.
I was waiting for a pause.
David Marshall.
David Marshall tore it up, but Tyler Clark was my guy right off the bat just because I saw him, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback.
They look like D linemen, though.
Yeah,
they look like what you got.
And you see Trent would be double teamed, and then the same thing. I always go back to Gerald Anderson and Pollock. You know, when everybody was going after Anderson, Pollock just tore him apart, you know. And then we saw kind of the same thing yesterday or Saturday with everyone's focusing on Trent Thompson, and here comes David Marshall, here comes Tyler Clark, here comes Rochester. I mean, just everyone one after another going, look, hey, y'all want to double team him? Great. We're going to make you pay on the other side. And they had to run for their lives. So I was quite impressed. But going to your point about LeCount, look at all these, you know, we start talking about these sophomores, you know, as being, you know, like Isaac Nauta, team leader. He's just a sophomore. You know, Jacob Eason, again, just a sophomore. Imagine, you know, all those sophomore defensive linemen.
Doesn't it feel like Isaac Nauta's been here forever?
I know, but we were talking to him the other day, and he's like talking about the kids on this team. I'm like, you're.
All right, but you like the fact.
But then you got all these freshmen coming in behind him, you know, with, like you said, LeCount and Fromm playing, you know, and the 17th.
DeAndre Swift.
All those guys.
And Webb, I think Webb's a real, he's going to be special receiver. The thing about players that I've always recognized as a coach from the standpoint of players recognize ability.
Yes.
And they respect that, even though they don't worry about the guys being a sophomore or freshman. They just feel like, can this guy help us win?
Yeah.
So I think the fact that these guys were able to step in early, partly because they were so good, but also – last year that we were really limited in our depth in certain positions, and they had to step in. Those D linemen and Neonata came in with a pretty good situation at tight end, but I just think players respect ability, and that's the thing that Kirby again is bringing in here.
Shout out to Jackson Harris.
Yep.
First reception of the year was to the quote unquote fourth string tight end.
Right, he was. That was true. But, you know, we got some good depth there, and we got some good personnel groupings there where you can get some power runs with those two tight ends and maybe three tight ends.
Are you talking about going vanilla? Where was Charlie Warner?
Yeah.
Yes. I expect to see a truckload of Charlie Warner and Isaac Nauta this weekend.
Well, you can see, I mean, and everybody, were we vanilla? But, I mean, you get look at Warner and Hardman and Godwin, and now we
even
got
Jason
Riley.
Even Jason Stanley on that jet sweep that he likes to run.
We got Riley back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not Riley. I mean, Ridley. I'm getting. I wish we had.
It's Riley Ridley.
Riley Ridley. Ridley.
Yeah.
So
close enough.
That's good. I'm choking a little bit with all this pressure here. I don't have any makeup here today. That's hurting me.
Jake
don't use makeup, do you?
Jake does. He wears a lot of eyeliner.
Yes. Do you? No, I don't.
When you go over there to 11 Live, do they spray you?
No, they just hose me down in the parking lot, Coach.
But they don't put
that polish
spray.
No, they take one of those big soft lights, scrims, and put it, try to kick down on my bald spot here.
You're doing a good job over there, though. I'm impressed. Jeez. And I saw you dressed up. I mean, where'd you get that? Is that a Renner suit?
Yeah.
You look good, man.
I had to borrow that one.
That was good looking.
Thank you. I appreciate
good.
That.
I wouldn't tell you that. I mean,
there's a guy down here at the bottom end of Baxter Street. He rolled a bum and got that suit.
Hey, yeah. He came over there. But seriously, I mean, these people, can you imagine how people just really react to recruiting?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. When the guy next to me who worked for a TV station was out on the field, when Eason got hurt, okay, they're walking him off the field, and he goes, and we see Fromm coming in. The guy next to me said, what does this mean for Justin Fields?
Yeah.
That's the first
His
thing.
His first question. Not how's Fromm going to do.
Not how's Eason.
What does this mean for
And we've been
Justin
fielding
Fields?
That one all week.
I think Justin Fields, it's immaterial. He's going to go where he wants to go. He's not worried about it. Just like Fromm wasn't worried about Eason.
Yeah.
And Eason wasn't worried about it. If you're a good player, and we've said this, you're going to go where you want to go. And
Kirby said it at the press conference yesterday. He talking about Jake Fromm. People said, you know, with him coming in behind Jacob Eason, you know, were you surprised he made that decision to follow up a five-star? And he said, you know, the best ones I've ever been around, they don't care about that depth chart.
Exactly.
And somebody
if they care about it, they need to go somewhere else.
Somebody asked me on Twitter that, you know, do you think that was possibly a message to Justin Fields? I could see how you'd reach that
conclusion.
A little
subliminal.
Yeah. Maybe float it his way,
hey,
for sure.
When you're the top dog, you just roll over everybody, man. That's how it goes.
I really believe that watching these quarterbacks in the state, it's hard to believe that one state could have that many good players.
Have you watched this the last 2 weeks of Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence?
Unbelievable.
And poor Calhoun. Hey, pro tip, if you have Trevor Lawrence on your schedule,
do not call him out.
Do not tweet at him. So Calhoun football, I don't know if you saw this, Coach.
I saw it. He said, come on.
He said, wrong move.
Oh, is it 51-0 at the half?
It was 37-0 at the first quarter, 51-0 at the half. So
he made him pay.
Don't mess with the bull unless you want the horns. I mean, he lied about – same thing. If you call out Justin Fields, he's going to come after you.
They're 1-2 right now, aren't they?
They've struggled a little bit out of the gate, but, you know, they played that –
His supporting cast
is
near
not
what Lawrence
– Yeah, he's not – doesn't have
true.
A card of this.
And Rome for – I mean, we have to shout them
Are
out.
Are we going
to
get
guys,
that in?
Those guys –
Is he coming in?
I think so. I feel good about Georgia's chances. Okay. Adam Anderson, he's
Jake Roos is reporting that Adam Anderson will come in.
I am not. I feel good about Georgia's chances is what
I do, too.
He is lights out.
He absolutely tore through.
Him and Salyer and Hill and Fields, and then we'll all eat at Champions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll be here for signing day, won't you, Coach?
Hey, I'm available. I'm like an old maid, man. I'm around here all the time. Whatever you need, I'd like to be here.
Because
I enjoy it.
But we're going to have two this year. Because you have that early signing
day
on the 20th.
Yeah.
December 20th.
And but I guarantee you, when we get through the season and we start talking about bowls and recruiting and all, that's when we'll be on fire.
Yeah.
We'll be going. We'll ask some questions, and these people will ask you about all these different players. But it is amazing the recruiting that Kirby and his staff's done so far.
It's lights up. And that's I say this every week. There was never any question as to whether or not he could recruit. The question came up whether or not they could coach. And I go back to what you said in the first part of the show.
Why would you question that? He won four national championships.
Because he wasn't the head coach. And, you know, if you're not the head coach, then everyone assumes that you don't know what the hell you're doing, and they can override you. And again, I'm not saying that they doubted that he could, but it was a question. You've never done it before. You know, and then until you've actually got that winning record behind you, and going 7-5 didn't exactly win
one
him
thing about it, though,
a lot of accolades.
That's right, but one thing about assistant coaches, though, when you're around winning programs like Kirby was, I just think that everything organizational-wise, player development, strength and conditioning.
It rubs off.
I mean, you have a good idea about that as compared to coming in from some place that hadn't had those kind of resources. And he's been able to get across to the people here what we need to be in that competition. And
and here's something nobody wants to hear, because everybody likes to take shots at Greg McGarity, the athletic director. But I spoke to somebody who was speaking to him recently, and he basically said his job is to get Kirby what he needs.
Right.
And we've seen that. And Kirby has a lot of the things he needs. And Kirby, we talk about Jake Fromm and the it factor, you know, and his Kirby Smart had the same thing. You know, he's you get around him, you just find out he's bigger than life. And my faith in Kirby's ability comes from this simple fact. He can be stubborn just like any good coach. You know, stick to your guns, know what works. But if you show him two different procedures and you show him this one works, even if he was doing the other one, he's going to switch. And we caught this. Now, I disagree completely with how he treats the media, you know, cutting off access, but I'm sure he's doing it for a reason. But when he started talking about Lorenzo Carter and says, you know, we're trying to limit the amount of yards he runs in a specific practice. We're trying to keep him between 6,000 and 7,000 yards per practice, how many times he goes back and forth. And then with, like, a Holloman, who was had a hamstring issue.
Right.
He's like, we're keeping him under 5,000 yards. When you're breaking it down that scientifically, this is a guy who's detail-oriented, and it's obvious that someone has shown him, here's a way to make this work. So,
well, you know, your practice productivity is based on a lot of things about what kind of drills you're doing, who you're going against, the weather, everything. But you want to challenge you measure success in degrees. A five-star guy going against a three-star guy, you know, he might not really work as hard as he needs to in practice, but by having this GPS system that monitors everything, you got an idea what he's like. Like, I know his coach used to have this this deal where they would have two whistles, and they would blow the first whistle, which didn't count, which really slowed everybody down. But then you had to keep going for that second whistle, which is like 10 extra seconds, which, you know.
Really?
And then the other thing is they had the extra camera that would be to catch people loafing in practice. So it was kind of a wild card camera. So you had your regular camera watching everything. But this guy, if you ever got on that wild card and you were standing around, your ass was grass. But this GPS stuff's good.
Speaking of asses grass, I guess we are probably grass for this week.
Tell us about Athens Ford one more time.
One more time. If you were coming to Athens, not this coming Saturday, which, of course, if you know, the game's not until the evening, so you can go out to Athens Ford this weekend. But next Saturday, the Saturday after next, go the weekend of the Samford game at 2:30, go out to Athens Ford and stop out there and play cornhole. Two persons on each side. Top two teams qualify for the Grand Championship. The Grand Championship has a $500 prize pack in it. You know, one of those Yeti coolers. I think those things are $500 by themselves.
Yeah,
Yeti
sure.
Coolers. And then, you know, the tent. And it's fantastic. So swing up by Athens Ford. As we wrap up the show, we want to put out a very special thanks to Champions for letting us come out here. 11 Alive for letting
Tell
us.
Tell your friends next week. Come on out Tuesday. We'll be here.
Tuesday at noon. Come
Tuesday
out.
Tuesday at noon. Come out. We had a couple 40. Questions here. We'll get
Never
those
too
in next
early
week.
For 40s.
Yeah, we'll get those.
Yeah. This
Shout Founders, out to
Founders IPA.
Beer. Yeah, hit you a Founders while you're here.
With lunch. Come on. You can have a beer with lunch. You know.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And, it helps a lot.
Get here a little early or stay a little late, and we'll answer some questions for you off the record.
Well, I'll say we'll definitely talk off the record to all the people that are here. So that's where
I'm sure that won't. If you want to know where Justin,
no, if you want to know where Justin Fields is going, he'll tell you here as soon as we turn this thing off. You know, he's and we'll share the quotes and all that stuff.
Yeah? Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Cable East, thanks to 365 Game Day, thanks to YourPie, and thanks to all of you people who are subscribers to UGA Sports for watching. And those of you who are not subscribers, what the hell are you doing?
Come check us out. Come on,
it's 27 cents a day.
Is that what it is?
It's 27 cents a day, Coach.
All right.
All right. Thank you
very
much.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.